And thank you for tuning in to Morning Live. Now, humanitarian aid organization Gift of the Givers, they say that a decision on whether they will resume aid to foreign nationals living in the Cape Town CBD will be made today. Now, previously, the organization provided food, toiletries and medical services to a group of foreign nationals after they were removed from the offices of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. The aid was suspended, however, after the leaders of the refugees were angered by remarks that their demands for the resettlement were unrealistic. So to tell us more about these latest developments in the story, I'm joined on the line by Gift of the Givers founder, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and compliments of the season to you, Dr. Suleiman.
Good morning to you, Sakina, and the same compliments to you, the SABC management staff, and the entire viewership of Morning Live.
Well, thank you so much. Dr. Suleiman, let's just take a few steps back on this story in terms of getting to understand why Gift of the Givers actually withdrew their support to the refugees.
Well, it wasn't so much us withdrawing. It was us being asked to leave. In your introduction, you mentioned that we stated that the demands of the foreign nationals were unrealistic, and we still stand by that. You know, that we made it clear at the time that we were going in that our intervention is very temporary, that a permanent solution has to be found. The permanent solution is one of two options. One, the foreign nationals, you know, are safely reintegrated into South African society, which a lot of them are calling for right now. And secondly, if they want to, they can be repatriated to their own country. For them to expect another country like Canada or some other, you know, northern country to take them, it's an unrealistic demand. It's not a demand to be fulfilled by the UN, by the South African government. If they want to do that, then they should go to their own country first and make the arrangements from there. We stand by that, because otherwise this matter will carry on for years and for years. And the problem is, in all these discussions and diplomacy and politics, the people that suffer the most are the women and the children. And we've seen it in the church from the end of October right till now. They're the ones that suffer the most.
Dr. Suleiman, just on a point of clarity, because the question then becomes, why is Gift of the Givers engaging in that level of discussion with the refugees as opposed to just providing aid?
We're not discussing at that level. We've told them clearly we are here to help, but your issue got to be sorted out with the UN, not with us. And so we have come as an humanitarian organization, but we can't be here forever. And your processes, since you are refugees, you fall under the UNHCR. We've had discussions with UNHCR. We've had discussions with South African Human Rights Commission. And we've made it clear to the refugees that you guys need to go into UN camps. And we've told that to the UN also. And the UN has been engaging us in that period last year. I think they've been looking for us this week also. That they have to set up camps. Everything is under their control. Once they're in that camps, we will look at them providing assistance in association with the UN and the Human Rights Commission in those camps until one of these two solutions are found. Either if someone to come back into South African society or others want to go home. That's not our responsibility. We, as you mentioned, are only from the humanitarian point of view, but we've advised the foreign nationals that this is what they need to do.
So have you had any further discussions or consultations with the refugees since then?
Yes, we've had good, the guy called Papi, the other leader now, you know, he's been calling my Cape Town office. He's been very conciliatory, very apologetic, saying it was not them that asked us to leave, that they wanted us back. They've said it in many, many media statements and public announcements, and he voiced it himself on media. We've explained to him exactly what I've told you now on air, that you've got two options, and they said, look, they understand that, and from what I understand is he's prepared to take the people and go to UN camps, and from there, work out a policy of whether they can come in the country or leave the country. In addition, for that to happen, of course, you need engagement of Home Affairs, and I think Home Affairs is very keen to engage with the UN and South African Human Rights Commission and with the foreign nationals to see what they can do. Everybody wants this matter to end. And as an aside, we cannot continue doing this at the church, because you're affecting the normal functioning of the church. Father Reverend Aaron Story was very open-hearted and generous. He had provided the church for a period of time. We have to respect that. People have to, worshippers have to get back to the church. Also, the church is not conducive to so many people staying there. It's a health hazard, and we know there is a health crisis inside there. And other than that, it's affecting and causing bad relations with the people outside the church. It's affecting the economy. And this time, South Africa can't afford any more economic losses. not only the economy, it's affecting the population, the civilians in Cape Town. So as a balance, the UN camp is the best option for everyone, and the leaders and the nationals are fully aware of that, and I think they're conducive to that kind of thinking.
Speaking of health conditions, we understand that there might be a chickenpox outbreak amongst the refugees there. Have you heard anything about that, Dr. Suleiman?
Well, I've heard about that, but another statement said there is chickenpox, and then somebody mentioned nobody has died from that. I don't know why that was relevant in any case, but that's now the mandate of the health department, and I know the city health and safety and security also want to engage in the church and, you know, to take care of the people. But again, it comes back down. Where do you do it? You know, do you do it in the church? Do you do it in the street? Or do you do it in a more conducive environment? And everything comes down to one. They need to be moved from the church. The church needs to be, you know, again, re-cleansed in terms of from a hygiene and an infection point of view. And once these camps are set up, the camps have to be humane. It can't be just some dump. It has to be a place where women and children can live in a very dignified manner, and even, of course, the elderly people and the males, in a dignified manner. And in that camp, then, the medical teams can then assess, provide the food, provide the whatever is required, while the paperwork is being processed. We have to emphasize, it can't be a process forever. There has to be some finality at some point. You can't stay in camps forever. Either you go back to society or you go back to your country.
So we understand that Gift of the Givers will be making a decision regarding this particular matter today. At what point, and what are you hoping will come out of it, Dr. Suleiman?
No, we've made a decision already last week. The decision is we will, once they move to UN camps, we will then work with the UN to support the level which we can support. We can. They need help. We have no problem with that. We have a problem continuing in the same place where they are right now because of all the things I mentioned earlier. It's just too disruptive for everybody. And, you know, it's coming to no finality. Once the UN comes, and I said the UN has been trying to get all of us, we will speak to them today in association with the UN, Human Rights Commission, Home Affairs. We don't mind supporting the refugees to whatever extent we can, but it has to be in a UN-controlled environment.
All right. And Dr. Suleiman, just a final question unrelated to the refugee situation. On the story of Shiraz Mohammed, the photographer who was held captive in Syria and has now returned, family said Gift of the Givers had abandoned him. And tell us, what's the latest with regard to that?
Look, the story, we had never abandoned him. They had decided to go on their own with another negotiator. And it's our policy that we will never work when there's more than one negotiator. We have experience with this since 2011. And whilst we were negotiating for him, there were the people, the captains, who had the intermediary called us and said, we're talking to two or three other groups. So we said, don't call us back. As long as you're talking to two or three other groups, don't call us back. We will only speak to you if you speak to us alone. And at some point, they came back to us, they said, and we're now speaking to you alone. And in April of this year, they released the first proof of life video to us. And the progression, the discussions are going well. They wanted $1.5 million ransom. We told them they're out of their mind, nobody can pay that kind of money. And eventually we had reached $300,000 and we were coming down and down. And eventually at that point in June, the family said, look, they didn't tell us. We just found out they were using somebody else. And we said, it's fine. You know what? In the interest of the hostage and the family, you need to do. If somebody else can do it faster, we have no problem. You know, it's in your interest. If you can do it faster, please go ahead, because we don't pay ransom. And, you know, we there's certain processes we follow. And they carried on. So we told them, carry, go on the way you want to go. And then, of course, it was by mere chance that on the 14th of December, we got called by somebody in Syria to say that Shiraz has escaped, you know, and that at the same evening they said they moved him across the Turkish border. He's now very safe in the hands of Turkish intelligence. My people on the ground confirmed that. Once we had confirmed that, the next day we made a press release. And thereafter, we were in touch with Berko, who confirmed on the 18th of December that Shiraz is indeed in the hands of the Turkish government. They are negotiating with the Turkish government. That same evening on the 18th, Berko met us personally, where they told us the same thing. And on the 26th of December, they told us again that Shiraz is still in the hands of the Turkish government, is still there. And thereafter, of course, we didn't know because we're not involved in the case. We haven't phoned Berko. And since we're not involved in the case, we didn't ask any more questions. And then through Reuters, on Thursday, the 2nd of January, I got a call to ask, have you heard that Shiraz is either in the country or on the way or being sent by Turkish intelligence back to South Africa? I said, no, I don't know. So he said, asked him, how do you know? he said his sources from Reuters sources were told by Turkish intelligence that Shiraz is on the way. That's all I know. And then afterwards, we heard that the family had made some announcement that he is in South Africa.
Have you had any contact with them or with him since then?
No, not. They said that from the message they sent out, they like to have their space. It's a family matter. And, you know, and we're just respecting that.
But from Gift of the Giver's side, he did not go with Gift of the Givers on a mission to Syria.
The Gift of the Givers had no mission in Syria. When we have a mission comprises a whole medical team, a whole lot of media that travel with us. One person doesn't represent the Gift of the Givers mission. Yes, he was from, we only came to know afterwards that he was there. He was invited by somebody who was a volunteer that used to work with Gift of the Givers. And this volunteer does work with many other organizations. And he was invited by him, but around that same period, we had terminated the services of the volunteer for various reasons. So Shiraz had gone, there was no invitation letter from Gift of the Givers. Please, can you go to Syria, go do this, that, and the other for us. We don't need that. So we've been there since 2012, and we've got teams that send us messages and video and footage. So we really didn't need that. But Shiraz was keen to go. I only learned afterwards that he was there, and I was horrified that he even actually got there all alone in a crisis situation like that. And once he was taken, and of course, when he went to the hospital, my teams took care of him. They showed him the camps. They showed him courtesy. He's a South African. He's come to a South African facility, you know, and but it was only 2 or 3 days later, and then he disappeared. And of course, as we do for all South Africans, we try to do our best to bring them back home.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, Gift of the Givers founder, talking to us about the organization and the situation with the refugees, foreign nationals living in the Cape Town CBD, and also the issue around Shiraz Mohammed. We're going to take a break.